This brand will do $40 million in revenue this year selling this tape.
So this is the way that Olipop actually position themselves against Coke and Pepsi.
So if you want to find a winning product, this is the formula.
It's not actually just about a competitor. It can be a behavior or an industry that can be the enemy.
Taking a stale product and I'm trying to modernize it. Where is their level of awareness?
The pre-roll for this podcast would get us both sent to jail.
The only way to scale from niche to mainstream is to center your content around. Good to go?
I'm ready.
Welcome to another episode of Sweat Equity. It is just Brian and I back in the mix. We're dressed different today. Brian says I look like an NFL trainer. He looks like he's about to captain a ship in Lake Como.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Really probably Lake Minnetonka, for being honest.
I don't even know where that is.
Nah, it's in Minnesota.
That's
I'm saying I'm capping.
Gotcha.
Like a random ass Minnesota.
That's crazy. That's a crazy thing to say.
Random ass Minnesota lake.
Never heard of it.
Come on, all right. Dog.
But we got a lot of heat today. So first thing I'm going to talk about is Hostage Tape. There's this brand that is now doing $40 million in revenue. They just became the official sleep partner of the UFC. They also sponsored Joe Rogan's podcast. And they kind of took a stale product, a product that's been around for, I mean, years and years. And they kind of modernized it and revolutionized, for lack of a better buzzword term, into a actual brand. And then the other thing that we're going to talk about is Mystic Gum. One of our friends, Braxton's, launching this gum company in the upcoming months. We're going to talk about how we'd grow it, essentially a little bit of free game. What you got before your flight to Lake Minnetonka?
So really cool founder story for the Hostage Tape guy too. I don't know if you've dove into that.
One of their funnels is the founder story as a landing page.
It's unbelievable. It's really,
their growth is unbelievable. Like their funnels, what they do, very strategic, but
yeah, super powerful. I'm going to do a deep dive on the enemy framework and how any brand can use that to easily position themselves against a few different things, whether that's a behavior, an industry, or a competitor. A lot of our listeners are always asking, I have this athleisure brand or I have this CPG brand. How do I stand out? Yeah. What do I do first? And the number one thing I would tell anybody is use this framework to position yourself against these different things so that people can easily understand what's different about your brand. And that's how you find your audience.
So the first thing I want to dive into is Hostage Tape. You just said you met them at the Whaley's in New York. Super interesting guy. They have a super interesting product. So from my segment, there's going to be a few takeaways that I'm going to touch on. So the first one is finding a stale product and then how to innovate on it. Then understanding who you're building it for. If you recognize Hostage Tape, dude, it is completely tailored towards men. So I'm going to kind of dive into that. And then the third thing I'm going to talk about is they've nailed education and understanding how to weave education into their content, into their ads and their landing pages. So I'm going to start there. So it's crazy that this brand will do $40 million in revenue selling this tape. The first thing I want to talk about is mouth taping has been around for years. Like this is nothing new. But what Hostage Tape did was like it's almost like they went to the grocery store and they went to like the pharmacy aisle and they were like, okay, I'm going to look at a bunch of things here and what all looks the same. Like what is just like there is no standout product. There's no standout branding. And we're going to take one of these products and we're going to modernize it. We're going to build a brand around it. And that's what they did with Hostage Tape. Because if you go to HEB, if you go to any grocery store, all 3mm tape or all of tape, it looks the same, right? It all looks like Band-Aid boxes. And what they've done is they've been able to take what something that is very old and isn't new and essentially make it new again and build a brand around it. And what I think is interesting about this is there are so many places that you can go and look at brands that have been around forever that have not revolutionized or haven't changed or innovated, but just look at what products are stale and need innovation. And then modernize it and build a brand around it. So other examples that come to mind are Native Deodorant, 8 Sleep, Hint Water or Liquid Death, and Jolly Showerheads. Native Deodorant, you go to the deodorant aisle, it's the same thing. All deodorants look the same. All Old Spice looks the same. All Axe looks the same, right? And this is specifically, I'm talking about men. Native Deodorant comes in, it's like this minimalistic look. And we're also going to be more transparent about what's inside the deodorant. 8 Sleep, all mattresses are the same, right? Outside of, what was it, like Casper or something like that? Like there wasn't really innovation in mattresses. And it's like, hey, you spend 1/3 of your life on a mattress. It might as well be a great mattress. So we're going to innovate. We're going to create this product that people are going to love, and we're going to innovate on design because it's the mattress is black, right? It's like a black color. They built a brand around it. There's content around it. Their ads, their landing pages, everything is very modernized. Hint Water, Liquid Death, kind of the same thing. I won't go into Liquid Death. And then Jolly Showerheads, like Showerheads is another thing. You go to Home Depot, every showerhead looks the same. There's no innovation there. Then Jolly comes in and kind of, again, I'll touch on this with Hostage Tape. Education is key, but Jolly comes in and innovates on a product that hasn't been innovated on in decades, right? So that's the first part that's interesting is go find stale products, products that nobody's built a brand around, and go build a brand around. And that is what Hostage Tape has done. The second part that is very interesting is, okay, well, how do you go from niche to mainstream? With Hostage Tape, it is a niche product in many ways, right? And the way, or why it's niche is because it's really only centered around performers or like athletes because, hey, mouth breathing is bad, especially when you sleep. So therefore, if you want to perform better, if you want to sleep better, you should tape your mouth, right? And what I think is super interesting is if you're going to go mainstream, you have to have a level of education that you're putting out into the market to say, hey, this is actually for everybody because 90% of people are in mouth breathers, and mouth breathers are affecting everything about your life. It's affecting your sleep. It's affecting your energy in the morning. It's affecting your health. Like, it's affecting so many things. And what I think is really interesting, what they've done a very good job of, is they understand the different levels of awareness, right? There's 5 stages of awareness. And as a consumer or as a brand understanding consumers, you have to understand where really is the market at this point. If I'm building this brand, if I'm taking a stale product and I'm trying to modernize it, where is their level of awareness? So I'm going to read the 5 levels of awareness for people to understand. So there's the unaware consumer. An unaware consumer is somebody that is unaware of a need or a desire for what you are offering, right? Some of the market is that. I was kind of in that realm. I was unaware of this. But through education, through their content, I started to like work up the ladder. The second part on the ladder is problem aware. This is somebody that's aware of a problem or need or desire, but unaware of a suitable product or solution. So this got to the point where their content was hitting me and I'm like, oh wow, like I'm a mouth breather sometimes, or like sometimes I wake up with my mouth open. I can tell that I've been sleeping with my mouth open because my mouth is dry, right? Like there's certain things you could pay attention to. And so at that point I'm problem aware. And then I start understanding like, oh, that this is an actual problem. Like I shouldn't be sleeping like this. I wake up groggy and it takes an hour for me to like get going. In reality, I should just wake up and be good. I just slept, 7-8 hours. So I'm problem aware. And now I'm moving up the ladder to solution aware. This is being aware of solutions in the market, but you're not aware of a specific product yet. This is, you could kind of kill 2 birds with 1 stone here if you're Hostage Tape and they're doing this by having ads that are educational, having advertorials that are educational. We'll get into it talking about their funnels, but you could kind of move somebody from unaware to problem aware to solution aware all in the same ad based on your copy, based on the creative, based on the landing pages. The next on the ladder is being product aware of your product, but not sure if it's right for them. Then the next one is most aware, convinced that your product is the best solution for his need or desire, but wants to evaluate the price and terms before buying. So when you look at this ladder, there are three underlying like pillars of this ladder. Unaware and problem aware discovery. This is where you need to focus on educating, telling stories, sharing secrets, introducing the solution benefits. That entire, that's what falls under discovery and basically building a bridge to being solution aware and product aware, because that is when the person transitions from knowing there's a problem and a problem exists to I need to find a solution to that problem, which moves you to consideration phase. The consideration phase is where you now have to introduce your product, have social proof, have UGC, introduce the different USPs of your product, which is unique selling propositions, the features and benefits. And then the last on that is another bridge to decision-making, a CTA, which is, your guarantee, your offer in many ways. So going from niche to mainstream, they were really in this area of there's a lot of the market that's unaware. So they have to do a really good job of educating the market to make them problem aware, solution aware, product aware, and most aware. what Hostage Tape has done very well, and I think they've done very smart, is they've built the infrastructure to do all of those things efficiently before growing too fast, before trying to go mainstream very fast. And I'll talk about it in a second, but they went from, hey, like, we're owning this market and like the product's working, we have good reviews, to we're going to sponsor the UFC. We are going to sponsor the Joe Rogan podcast, because now we're going mainstream. Now we've built the infrastructure that now we can go mainstream. Imagine if they would have tried to do that out the gate and they don't have the right funnels built. They don't have the right messaging and content and ads built. It's a mess. Mm. You're probably leaving millions and millions on the table. So the next part is, all right, what does that infrastructure look like? What is their growth and their funnels look like? So they build their funnels based on the level of awareness. And I'm gonna run through top of funnel, middle funnel, bottom of funnel. So when you look at their top of funnel ads, and you could go to their ad library for anybody watching this, you could go to Facebook, page transparency, look at their ad library and be able to see all this and then dissect it. When you look at top of funnel and them aiming to drive awareness to around the product and around the education of why you need this product, it is mostly podcast clips. It is a clip like this of me talking and talk about the benefits of this and what it is and, you know, all that. And then the smart thing is they direct that traffic to an advertorial. Think an advertorial that's like 5 reasons why you should tape your mouth when you sleep. These advertorials that take like the micro story and the micro value that you get from the clip and now extend it and give it a longer life in the advertorial so that that education continues. So you just heard me talk about it for 15 seconds. What about this, you know, this 5-section landing page all educating on you on why you need to tape your mouth. So at this point, you're looking at the landing page and you're like, this, I actually might need this. Like, it's going to help me sleep better. I shouldn't be mouth breathing. It affects my day to day. I have less energy. I'm less focused. And it's all because I'm not taping my mouth, right? Like, now I've transitioned to, I'm problem aware. And so let's say I don't convert, right? I haven't checked out, but I continuously scroll Instagram like anybody else. I move to the middle of funnel. What else am I going to get targeted by from Hostage Tape? This is the consideration phase, right? Like, this is me considering, do I actually need this product? Is it right for me? Is it going to help me? So the next part that I like that they use the founder story to create a funnel, which is kind of what you talked about, that he's super interesting. The founder story is like kind of these podcast clips and these clips of him talking as well, where he's just talking about, look, this affected me in my life, in my marriage. We got divorced. I was married to my wife and we started separating because my snoring would drive her crazy. So I had to sleep in another room. And then we kind of drifted apart because the intimacy also left the room. And, you know, we didn't have sex. We didn't have that time together. And then we split and I didn't get to see my kids anymore. And it was years until I got to see my kids. And that is his story. That's legitimately his story. And so he started doing this and started fixing his snoring issue, right? And you hear that founding story and you're just like...
There's also the part where he mentioned, like, I was overweight.
Yeah, 35 pounds overweight.
It was a complete transformation.
Yeah.
Both body, mind, spirit, all of it.
And so that's the middle of funnel and it's like more story driven. But it takes you to a founder story landing page, which I thought was really interesting because it's like, dude, it is a total sales page. Like, it is just a ton of copy, but it brings you in and like you read that first above the fold, and that first above the fold is kind of everything you just said. And I just said about he's overweight, his marriage has problems, and it resonates with you. And two things happen. Either A, you really resonate it. Like, this has happened to me. My wife or my partner is, you know, hates my snoring. Or B, you're like, you don't want this to happen to you.
He's also so vulnerable with it. He's really he's a very, he's a good looking dude. He seems he's ripped, seems very confident, seems very charismatic, and basically tells you that his life was on the brink 5 years ago before starting this tactic, which he's now obviously turned into a D2C brand.
100%.
It makes it much more relatable and approachable, where their brand is very brash, very aggressive, Manscaped, UFC partnership, right? It's Hostage Tape. I mean, it's very aggressive, and yet, then you get into the founder story and it's actually, oh, this is a dad that is trying to save his family through personal transformation. 100%. It's really compelling. And it's just cool that he's able to weave in such a powerful transformation to his product, which obviously the problems that he's talking about are something everyone is facing. Yeah. People snore, it ruins relationships. People sleep has a direct attribution to performance. Yeah. And everyone knows that that is super critical. And I also think they do a really good job of riding the current wave of wellness too.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Eight Sleep earlier. We've talked about Minnie Huberman's on the pod. There's, you know,
dude, that, they nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed
and, it.
The
and
timing.
He make the timing is also very, very perfect, but that does mean that he was ahead. It doesn't mean he was lucky. You know, he found this early enough where he was able to ride a trend versus just simply being in the right place at the right time.
100%. One thing I talk about here is if you are going to do that, kind of that move from finding a stale product and innovating, you really need to know who you're building it for. And in Hostage Tapes, like Angle, they kind of go after, I don't want to say the alpha male, but like maybe the person striving to be like an alpha male or looks up to the Rogans and those kind of individuals. Because, I mean, everything from their packaging to their coloring, like their packaging is a guy. Like it's literally saying this is for men. Like this product is for men.
Right.
And their packaging, like the blue and all the colors, it just all goes that way. So they kind of bring you in with the founder story and they really use that. But then they started recently using influencers and kind of like creators for the consideration phase of their funnel, which in this case is Andy Elliott. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
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 Like the Andrew Tate of sales training, basically. He's like, he wears the same shoes you're wearing right now, though.
But he also has the tightest pants on the internet. We keep it a little loosey-goosey around here.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. They are very tight. But
dude, I'm talking like texture
spandex.
to calf. Like you can see the outline of the calf. Yeah.
You see veins in the back of his
100%
in the back of his legs. Like they're super tight. I've never seen him never seen him bend in a video.
No, he doesn't. He's standing. Doesn't move. He's very
immobile.
He's not
even sitting, he's standing.
Yeah. You think he's juicing? I think he's juicing.
I don't know. No, he probably just uses hostage tape. but anyways, they work with Andy Elliott, which again, like it's perfect for the demographic that they're going for.
Absolutely.
They're trying to go for that like alpha male or, you know, whatever we want to describe it. Andy Elliott like falls into that demographic. But what's interesting is, so they have all these Andy Elliott ads, again, ranging from top of funnel to middle funnel to bottom of funnel. But they take that advertorial that they had initially, that's like five reasons why you should tape your mouth when you sleep, and they spin it for Andy Elliott. So what they're doing is like they're tailoring this education based on your level of awareness or your entry point, which is very smart. So the bottom of funnel aspect now, right, is what we're going to dive into. This is where it's conversion driven. This is where you're trying to talk about objection tackling, pricing, all those things. For Hostage Tape, they use their founder a lot here. They use Andy Elliott too, but they use their founder a lot here. And what they'll do is like, it's almost like they take frequently asked questions and constant objections and turn it into clips. And those clips will stem from, does this work with facial hair, a pricing breakdown, what to expect or when to expect results? What if I can't breathe right through my nose? Like you said, like, am I going to suffocate? And what they do is they create advertorials, again, more advertorials for all of these things, because my thing is they're trying to build confidence into this consumer. Because if you could build confidence into the consumer, an educated consumer is a confident consumer. A confident consumer will transition and become a customer. And so basically what they've done here is they've built the infrastructure so that now when they do go mainstream, it's efficient. And what I mean by that is now let's imagine a world where they don't have this infrastructure built in and they sponsor the UFC. They become the official sleep partner of the UFC, sorry. They're sponsoring Joe Rogan. If this infrastructure doesn't exist and somebody sees UFC 320 brought to you by Hostage Tape and you go search Hostage Tape and none of this is built out and none of these funnels are, you know, working, or they don't understand their messaging and their education and their value and their offers, I mean, you are just leaving money on the table. Now, let's say the other side of it, someone sees Hostage Tape, they go search it, they start getting hit with these ads, they start going down these advertorials, they start getting these kinds of emails, and the entire process is dialed from an unaware customer to a solution aware, most aware consumer. Like that is a completely different business. That is why I think they've been able to scale, you know, I think they did 10, 12 million in 2023. They're going to hit 40, 50 million this year.
Yeah.
That is a result of what they did in 1 to 10 million. That is, hey, 1 to 10 million is infrastructure. we could get to 10 million niche by just focusing on a certain amount of people and like these and just paid ads and like really owning TikTok and Instagram. Okay, now that we're going mainstream, we're going to take this infrastructure. We're going to make sure that it works in conjunction with UFC and Joe Rogan and like all these other podcasts. And now it's time to scale into a mainstream product. And dude, I mean, it's been sick to watch. They're one of my favorite brands because like they got me to buy this within, I think we wrote about it. It was like, I think we called it like the 5-minute funnel. Mm-hmm. I got hit with an ad that was just like, hey, are you breathing through your mouth? Like, that's why you're tired. That is why you wake up groggy. That is why XYZ. And I was like, oh, that's super interesting. And then I get to the advertorial and I'm like, dude, I might die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like I might die. I got to hit one day shipping. I order it. And ever since I'm an advocate, I mean, y'all see me walk in here with the hostage tape, no strips, like
for sure.
Full advocate for the brand. So let me just give you the small takeaways or the bullet points so that anybody could kind of walk away with this because I've been talking for a long time. So first thing, go somewhere where there is a product line, almost like the grocery store, certain aisles. I mean, you could go to aisle number 13 of the rice and find like what rice brands have been around forever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Find a stale product where there's been no innovation, modernize it and build a brand around it. Hostage Tape decided to do that with mouth tape. There's another company called Brush Tape, I think it is. They copied everything about Hostage Tape down to the packaging where it's a female now on the cover, and they're probably crushing as well. Understand who you're building it for. If you are going to modernize a brand, understand what that demographic is to the point where it is like one person. In this case, for Hostage Tape, it is like that, you know, quote unquote alpha male, the person that listens to Joe Rogan, right? The next thing is, if you are going to take something that's stale and probably doesn't have a lot of education around it, your focus with content has to be education. People need to understand why this product is now essentially going mainstream and why it has the possibilities to become mainstream. So you have to hone in on education, especially because you need to make people problem aware. If you can't get people, if you can't build the bridge from unaware to problem aware, you're never going to be able to build a, you know, 20, 30, 40, $50 million company, because that bridge is the key to all of this happening. It's the key to the ladder. The fourth thing is, you have to build your funnels based on the level of awareness. You have to understand top of funnel. You have to understand middle funnel, bottom of funnel, and how those relay and work in congruency with the different levels of awareness. That is your entire funnel. That is from the ad to the landing page, to the advertorial, to the SMS and email. That all has to work in congruency. And that is what I got.
Fire.
Thank you.
They're so dialed. And I just can't believe something so simple has been D2C'd all over again. Yeah. You know, it's... The whole entire Shopify ecosystem is just extremely talented marketers taking existing solutions and creating better stories around them.
What are some other products like that?
I mean, there's a million of them. I think I'm about to talk about a lot of them in this enemy marketing thing. And the more that I was listening to that, it's so clear that he understood enemy marketing as a tactic, because there's three components to enemy marketing that we'll get into, but one of them is behavior. And so behavior would be the behavior of sleeping with your mouth open, mouth breathing. And so that is the enemy. What does that enemy do is it leads to bad performance. It leads to snoring, which leads to intimacy issues with your partner, which leads to a divorce, which leads to all, it like waterfalls into all of these different problems. And you simply do not get those stories when you're at Walgreens looking at a stale piece of mouth tape.
Yeah.
You know, but because he's able to articulate those things and leverage video that he can make sure people see in ads, and also, you know, have Joe Rogan talk about it on his podcast. Like it's a way to get that message out. And it's fascinating. I mean, you made the point about, you know, Native is obviously one of the most successful examples. I think you know, there's like Athletic Greens, right? Like green smoothies were disgusting for 50 years.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Athletic green smoothies are still disgusting.
Right, but it just kind of looks sick and has the right people talking about
it. It looks cool
it.
In a pantry.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. They turned a disgusting, like almost, you know, thing that you had to check off your list into a status symbol of the optimizer and someone that is actually pursuing their highest form of self, which is all marketing. It has nothing to do with product. Their product safe quality is probably like, you know, some natural pharmacy's green smoothie in like 1980s. So Yeah, really cool stuff. $40 million for Hostage Shape. Another thing about what's crazy about his product is you would think this is probably not that great because his average order value is not so good. You know, it's not like $120 to like $150, not $200. But then you start to dig in. If you start seeing results out of mouth taping, you're going to use mouth tape every day.
So that's what I was going to say.
It is a consumable that is for daily use that doesn't have, it's got infinite shelf life. That's a big problem in CPG and beverage is shelf stability. That thing never goes bad. It's just a piece of plastic. I'm waiting for the anti-plastic brigade to get on them. Who's got the paper mouth tape? You know, who's got the sustainable compostable mouth tape?
So I was thinking about that too, about the average order value for Hostage Tape, right? And it's, they do a bundle that's like, I think buy two, get one.
Yeah.
But the thing to me is, because they talk about 90 days till you'll change your life. So they essentially give you the 90 days window with their bundle.
Set, right?
Yes. And what I think is super interesting and has worked on me is, dude, I'm never not going to sleep with this because I do wake up better. I do sleep better. I don't wake up in the middle of the night.
What's been more impactful for you, the 8 sleep or the mouth tape?
Two different impacts. So I'll give you them. 8 sleep, I fall asleep faster and I stay asleep. Okay. But it doesn't impact if my blood oxygen is higher when I sleep. I use a Whoop, and so I'm able to see that data. My blood oxygen levels were significantly higher because of the Hostage Tape, because I'm breathing through my nose.
Yeah.
And me, if you see the nose strip, like I'm also have the damn like nose strip amplifying all of it.
Right. Nose strip and mouth tape?
Yeah. When Vanessa really loves me, bro. Vanessa really loves me. Because she just lets me.
She looks
look
at that,
like that
at night and is still. She like, really, that's,
yeah,
yeah. We'll have
like yesterday.
Kid.
I gave her a kiss and I literally had the mouth tape on and I was just like,
"Dude, that's cool though. That good for you guys.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. You know what? So they collab with the UFC, but you just mentioned Whoop, and it seems like a collaborative study between Whoop and Hostage Shape could be so
huge,
beneficial
dude.
For both. Because Whoop is demonstrating, hey, look, there are tangible things that our product tracks that improve your life. And then Hostage Shape is saying, here's extremely clear evidence that we are making an impact in your daily routine.
I wish they could measure brain fog.
Yeah.
I don't know how you measure that.
And then you get your magic mind so that you can reduce brain fog. Yeah. I mean, come on. We are the CPG podcast.
Yeah. Because what this has eliminated for me has been that mostly.
Yeah.
Is the fact that I wake up and I just feel alert. So in the past, I would have to drink an energy drink or a big coffee.
Yeah.
When I wake up, and now I drink half of it, a quarter of it, and I'm good.
Really?
And I drink it more so out of habit than out of need.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been the biggest thing for me. But you kind of like intrigued me because I've always thought of enemy marketing as this brand versus that brand.
Correct.
Right. When Andrew Gazdecki launched like Bootstrappers, it was he was going against TechCrunch.
Right.
Like that was his enemy. So I've always thought of it from brand versus brand. What are the three different kind of ways you can create an enemy to amplify a brand?
Right. One of the easiest ways to go 0 to 1 in your advertising strategy is the enemy framework. So this is the process of kind of grounding your audience in an understanding of the problem you're solving. The OG of this idea is Mac versus PC.
Classic.
The classic commercial of Justin Long versus some, you know, jabroni in a suit. And software companies do this all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, Gusto, they're a payroll software and an HR platform. They're positioned against ADP and legacy payroll stuff that doesn't work for small teams. So they say that ADP would never care about your problems. They don't have products built for your problems. So therefore, you know, use us. Ramp is kind of expense reports. Like their enemy is you know, big spreadsheets tracking everything manually. And so we allow you to do that with software. So it's essentially a way to look at big legacy solutions as a means of disruption, similar to what, you know, Mouth Tape was able to do.
Even Hostage Shape. Slack did against email. They were like, email is dead, or it's not the efficient way of communicating with your team on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So we built Slack. And if you watch their launch video,
right. They
say that. They position email as the enemy to like give them the rise as the solution.
100%. And it's just like I said, it's an easy way to ground who you are versus others.
Yeah.
And so many of our listeners are asking us, how do I get my brand off the ground? How do I get my brand off the ground? You have to distinguish yourself because people have been seeing athleisure now for 15 years. Lulu is an incumbent. Nike is established. Yeah. Viori's coming up. Aloe Yoga. This is your competition. Yeah. You know, you're competing against people that are making billions and billions of dollars. So in athleisure, you have to portray them as an enemy somehow. And similarly, in supplements or CPG, you're kind of competing against big food, big industry, toxic ingredients, unhealthy processed supply chain, stuff like that. In home goods and daily use, it's actually behavior, similar to what hostage tape was doing. Your behavior was the issue. And so what are kind of like the three steps to come up with, you know, ideas to how to position yourself with an enemy marketing framework? So it's three components. Mm-hmm. So number one, who is the audience? So for this, you want to get very specific. Are you familiar with Signal?
No.
So Signal is an app that allows you to text without, it's very encrypted. So it's for people that, you know, a lot of drug dealers use it, for example, to be able to not have their iMessage
tracked.
You set
me up. The feds are listening.
If they are, then the pre-roll for this podcast would get us both sent to jail. So Signal is an app that people use for data privacy. And so Signal themselves, they market to tech users that are privacy conscious. Mm. Athletic Greens is very similar, right? They have a ton of personas, but the core person is a health conscious professional. Yeah. So that is their audience. They've established this is component number one. Who is it for? And make sure you get specific. Don't just say it's for people that want to be healthy. Say it's for the health conscious white collar professional.
So for a Signal, would you say this is like people that would use Brave browser?
Yes, I would say Signal is for people who watched the Snowden documentary and got completely red pilled by it.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, and then the next thing is, what is the shared value with the brand? So this is the thing that your audience will agree with you on. So using the above examples, both Signal and their audience agree. Privacy is very important. You guys are going to agree on that. Athletic Greens and its audience agree that getting your nutrients is important, but traditional methods take too long for busy people. So they basically simplified your entire vitamin stack into one thing. Yeah. So they know that people who are super busy running from job to job, they're going to have to really use some mental bandwidth to actually make sure they stick to a routine. We'll simplify that in one shake. So they agree with that busy person that there's too much to do in a day to focus on these nutrients, but it's also important to get these things. And then the last thing is, what is the primary threat to that shared value? Mm. So this is the enemy, right? For Signal, it's a big tech overreach. Facebook knows every little demographic thing about you. So that includes location and what you bought recently, some behaviors that you might have had. They incorporate this into an ad which says, and this is crazy, you got this ad because you're a newlywed Pilates instructor and you're cartoon crazy. This ad used your location to see you're in La Jolla. You're into parenting blogs and thinking about LGBTQ adoption. So they put that right in front of your face.
Whose ad is this? Signal?
Signal. Yeah. And so again, they're a privacy messaging app. So that's a static image that they're sending to people to kind of spook you. You know, your privacy is not safe. Use Signal so that you can actually protect yourself against big tech overreach.
They're running that on Facebook?
Yeah.
I need to write about that because that's phenomenal.
Yeah. So, you know, the primary threat to the shared value for Athletic Greens, we kind of just talked about it, right? Yeah. Your routine getting in the way of your health. So this is something that they share with their audience. So those are the three things when you're coming up with the enemy marketing framework. But what you mentioned at the beginning of this is where I think a lot of people struggle is it's not just competitors that can be the enemy. Right? There's actually three different things that can be classified as an enemy. The first one I think we should talk about is behavior. Mm. So you just did an awesome segment on hostage tape, and the behavior that hostage tape has made the enemy is mouth breathing.
Yeah.
That is who they are waging war against, is mouth breathing. How that branches out into a million different things is how the brand can take, the brand has full autonomy over that. We mouth breathe because we don't eat enough, raw fruits and vegetables now. Yeah. So our jaws aren't strong and stuff. Like, they can get as crazy
been
as they
hanging out with the heart and soil people a little too long, bro.
For sure. Austin has completely changed me. And seriously, the behavior stuff is something that, like, you know, it can be as radical as that. Or Tom's shoes, for example, they were portraying indifference towards others as the enemy. So the enemy is you don't give a shit about people who are less fortunate than you, so you should buy our shoes so we donate to them.
Would you say like Element has Element did this with, you're drinking water, but that water, you're not getting enough sodium.
Yeah, for sure. That's
still working to like behavior.
100%. 100%. The problem is you're not getting enough nutrients.
Well, I think they actually made their enemy kind of like dehydration.
Exactly.
You think you're drinking enough water, but you're still dehydrated because you're not retaining that water.
But so that, I think dehydration would be the downstream consequence of the behavior that they're trying to change, because they're trying to insert themselves into a routine that would fix dehydration.
Gotcha.
And so same with Kind Bar, you know, any sustainability play is obviously rooted in this. You know, you are not doing enough for the environment. So industry. This one is very, very clear. I think one of the biggest, you know, most obvious ones here would be Olipop and Poppy, because competing against Big Soda and the negative things that that has done with processed sugars, you know, everything that leads to poor health outcomes from consuming too much soda, that's all big industry. That's people that are, you know, easy to root against, Coke and Pepsi. And so Olipop is the, that's their enemy.
Allbirds did that originally. Like, they were trying to be anti-Nike.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they've stepped away from that. But when, in our episode where we talked about how we'd grow Allbirds, it was like, they need to get back to that story of, we're trying to be anti-Nike. We're trying to be anti-fast fashion and be sustainable and like lean into that story.
Yep. No doubt. And so speaking of, most obviously with the enemy marketing framework is the competitor. So this is something an incumbent player does that your audience probably doesn't like. So remember, we got super specific with our audience.
Yeah.
Allbirds started with the tech crowd in SF. That tech crowd was very sustainability conscious, very conscious of Nike having questionable manufacturing practices. And therefore, they were eager to support Allbirds, which positioned its entire brand around, we're better for the environment and we actually care about our supply chain. Yeah. So, you know, both Lulu, Nike, any athleisure company is very susceptible to this. However, I do think it's a little played out. So you have to be a little bit careful about what is the angle that you actually try and go after one of the big players for in the competitor one. So, you know, great. Now you know how to brainstorm your enemy positioning. That's kind of like the process you want to go through. Let's talk about three types of ads that you can actually launch tomorrow once you've gone through that brainstorming session to leverage this. So number one, the brand head-to-head play. This is the Apple Mac versus a PC. A lot of D2C brands, you see this side-by-side comparison chart, right? Like, very strictly put, like, you know.
There's one I shared a few days ago. I don't know if you saw it, about like somebody, let me see if I can find it. I think it was like the extreme version of an us versus them. Like, it was almost too much.
So, you know, if you're gonna do the brand head-to-head play, let's talk about what not to do. Yeah. And what not to do is taking a veiled shot at a very clear incumbent. So there's this brand, Gainful, who crushes. They do personalized nutrition and protein powders and stuff like that. But they did an us versus them, and it was ours versus theirs. And it was Gainful versus some grayed out greens package. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so clearly you're talking about athletic greens, like
same colorway, everything,
right? Just say it, bro.
Yeah,
just say it with your chest. So
even like the stabs that they take at them are strong, right? It's like, taste disgusting,
yeah,
expensive, hidden ingredients, ineffective dosage,
yeah,
gross fillers. It's like,
yeah, it's,
you
like,
know, come on.
It's like when you say someone's bad at branding, or like some, you say like your competitor's bad at branding, and you just use a completely subjective, not rooted in any sort of numbers or anything like those, that may sound good to you because you have that opinion already. But when you're trying to convince a totally cold audience, definitely anchor everything you're going to say in at least some sort of numbers or facts.
So one brand that did a really good job of this was a brand called Ugly, and they went out of business. So let's not like
take everything with a grain of salt.
Yes. Specifically, I'm just saying they had good comparison us versus them ads. So I'm going to read you this copy. Same flavor, not the same amount of sugar, actually not even close. And then it was a Fanta, ironically, an ugly drink right next to it. And it just says 44 grams of sugar, 0 grams of sugar, with the headline just saying better tasting, better for you. It was a light comparison. It wasn't taking stabs. It was just saying, hey, you like soda, but you probably not going to like a bunch of sugar. Mm-hmm. Here's an alternative.
Yeah.
Didn't really take any stabs. Clearly it didn't work for them as well, but just an idea of, if you're going to do these, like what you said, if you're going to do these competitor ads, this us versus them, make sure it's rooted in facts and numbers.
100%. And, you know, just don't come off petty, I think is the other biggest thing, because that just makes people take you less seriously. It's kind of a similar concept would be whenever people are having an argument, whoever gets more emotional will be perceived to be the loser. Whoever's more calm seems like they're keeping their composure. They're not worried about, you know, like they're not getting upset about the situation because they feel like they're losing. They're actually just presenting their case. So the next thing you can actually incorporate is the advertorial throwdown play. And I want to give a super specific example of something that we did at Grind that I think anyone can really incorporate into their positioning. And again, this is talking about audience and the behavior and all the things that actually position you against your competitors. So if you think about our market was the basketball shooting machine market. So there were really two core customers. There were schools who would buy this product for their team and keep it in a gym. And then there were parents who would put it in their driveway, or coaches that would take it to practice and stuff like that. So when we created an advertorial, it was a basketball shooting machine buyer's guide. And it would recommend our competitor as the best shooting machine for schools to buy. However, it would recommend the Grind machine, which was our product, as the best one for any parent or at-home consumer. We would then put this on Playmaker or all these different third-party websites that looked objective. And it looked like they were just pushing out like a full-scale, you know, we're just reviewing all the products in the market. This is what we would recommend for who. We actually wrote the article, collaborated with those people as affiliates, and ran it as Facebook ads. Worked wonders. It's fantastic. And the thing is, none of the people that are coming in as coaches, those are like B2B leads, right? Yeah. Like they're not going to convert on site. They're not buying e-commerce wise. But people who are seeing that as an at-home parent, and they're like researching what shooting machine should I get for my kid for Christmas? Well, some third party just said that the Grind machine is actually the best fit for the driveway rather than our competitors.
Who are you hitting up for these affiliate sites to try to find the right person to be able to create like these publisher funnels? And then kind of what does that arrangement look like?
Yeah. So it's a pretty simple formula. There's two ways to do it. So number one, you should have specific knowledge about what to look for in a publisher.
Yeah.
For us, there's a lot of different third-party blogs that are writing about what is the top basketball shoe for traction. What is the lightest basketball shoe? They're already doing these buyer guides. Like this affiliate SEO oriented marketing exists where people are taking a common search about a product category and turning it into a buyer's guide to recommend products and then therefore attaching a link to it. So not only do they have that infrastructure already in place, they all do that. So, I mean, Slam, for example, like they would do this, like Nice Kicks, Matt Hatfield's business would do this. Like all of the players that are media companies in your category have at least some sort of element here. I mean, dude, GQ is probably the most flagrant person, you know, New York Times, Wirecutter, like this goes all the way to the top. However, if you want to get into those, you probably have to work with a PR firm or a publisher affiliate agency. Those do exist. But the way the deal worked for us is we would just pay a flat fee to get hosted on the page. And then that would be how they would publish the article. That was anywhere from like $2,500 to $5,000. And then from there, we'd have to pay a commission on every sale. Mm-hmm. That was directly attributed to their UTM link. So that link would go to our PDP tracked. And then GA4 would obviously tell us like that was a sale from that affiliate article.
I mean, even on our end, we're doing this with, and obviously we're significantly smaller and we haven't put out this story yet and talked about it as much, but like our enemy's HBR.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they're building case study or they're writing case studies, but they're boring. They're 200 pages, 150 pages, and nobody reads them unless they're forced to read them.
Yeah.
Right. And we almost want to be anti HBR. That's like, no, we all liked books as a kid that had pictures in it and had videos, or weren't videos in a book, but like, we liked things that caught our eye and kept us retained and it made learning fun. That's what we want to do. Fuck all this HBR shit that's boring, 150 pages, a bunch of fluff. I'm writing an email right now about our story and like that. I compare I take an HBR article and I like literally just look at the first paragraph and I compare it to our copy in the email. I'm like, this is what like they're trying to get you to consume. This is what people think is good content. Look at all the buzzwords here. There was like 15 of them in that one paragraph that don't make the content better. It actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
And if us, we can come in, marketing exam can come in and just be like, yo, we're just your friend. We're just your marketing friend. We're your startup friend, just talking to you and kind of giving you advice as we go. Almost like you'd call me up and be like, yo, I'm trying to grow XYZ. I'm trying to do this on Facebook ads. Like, what should I do?
Yeah.
Yo, you should do XYZ. You should do these three things.
Yeah.
We're that person for you. We're your friend. So we've made HBR just like this big enemy of, dude, this is just bad content.
Yeah.
100%. You know, obviously they put a lot of money behind it, but like, this is bad content. It's not how you create good content. We're going to be the solution to that. But at the end, they do $300 million in revenue.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big opportunity. It's ripe for disruption. I think a lot of these legacy institutions don't get trusted anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, the difference between HBR and what you're doing is prestige, obviously. Yes, 100%. And so, you know, you have to like just incorporate that. As prestige is the enemy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that, it really can all root down to just positioning at the end of the day. So the third thing that people can do is the influencer test. So this is very common in like a taste test or maybe a mattress test. Do I like this Casper mattress or the 8Sleep, or do I like the Nectar or the Casper? You see this a lot in the mushroom coffee domain, where an influencer for a certain brand like Everyday Dose, for example, who's pretty large, they'll try Everyday Dose and they'll also try Rise, which is the dominant player. And from there, they'll say, well, Everyday Dose made me feel better for XYZ. Feels objective, probably a little played out, but if you do it correctly, especially if it's a strong organic play, maybe you incorporate like five different players rather than just one, you know, then that can work as well.
I think Logan Paul even did that with, Casey Neistat. He had him taste Gatorade and then
Prime. Yeah, and Prime. Yeah.
And then I think even Feastables has, I mean, if you, going back to this enemy framework, you look at one of the most successful companies right now built, you know, getting built on the back end of a creator, which is Feastables. They're doing that.
They're looking
at Hershey's in all their content. They're like, or they just released a rebrand for Feastables and they were like, damn, everything tastes better than Hershey's. It's not hard to make something taste better than Hershey's. It's just like they've made it their enemy. Midday Squares, we talk about them as well. They're like, they start off their Our Story video on Instagram or TikTok or one of those platforms. They're like, you want to know why we built our chocolate company? Spite. These four companies have taken over the chocolate industry forever.
And like right out the gate.
Yeah, dude, right out the gate. It was like, this is the enemy. And we're not like, we're not backing down to this enemy at all. We're going to battle with them, even though we're a small company. And it's
let's break those down.
Yeah.
The three components. Who is the audience? That is people that are trying to be more health conscious, but find it difficult because those products aren't available. What's the shared value? The fact that Hershey's and Big Chocolate has just been pushing unhealthy products on the American public for a long time. And then who's the primary threat? Calling it out, saying that it's Big Chocolate. So, I mean, it really is as simple as take your brand and run it through this exercise, and you will find it's a lot easier to actually articulate what you do and tell your story. And it doesn't have to be a competitor. It doesn't have to say we're better than our direct competitor. It's actually the enemy can be a behavior in an industry as well.
So here's what I'm going to do. If you're listening to this episode, I'm going to templatize this into something tangible that they could actually run through this exercise. So in the description, whether it's audio or YouTube, there's going to be a link to download this template. We'll send it to you so you could actually run through this exercise and you could kind of see, you know, how to find your enemy, how to position against your enemy and find your audience, your true fan. So we'll build that out. But
yeah,
so that's a wrap on my end. I think we covered two interesting things today because they also play in very hand in hand, right?
Hostage,
building a $40 million company. And if you really dissect it, you understand that they found an enemy and they built off an enemy, and that enemy is the behavior of mouth breathing.
No doubt. And the thing about what I appreciate about this pod, not to, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back here, but like Hostage Shape is a super tangible brand that you could see doing this in practice.
Yeah.
You just talked about a lot of technical stuff, but they applied a lot of the art that is marketing to their stuff as well, incorporating that founder story, talking about, you know, if the enemy is mouth breathing, if the enemy is, you know, all of these different behaviors, well, they take it seven steps further across the board. You're not going to die when you try our mouth tape. You're problem aware, now you're solution aware. So, if anything, take this episode as a way to just think about how to position your brand you know, positioning is so important today because there's so much stuff out there and people are used to getting peppered with ads. Like the days of just turning a Facebook ad on and making money are so over. Like you have to be clever and you have to actually pattern interrupt people when they're scrolling on social media to be able to get out there. So 100%. This is a playbook for that.
That's a wrap.
All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.